My name is Tricia Cattabini, just so everyone knows, partner in the audit department. I do have with me today Mike Johnson, who is the president and CEO of the National Stone, Sand, and Gravel Association, as Yevgeny mentioned earlier. And we wanted to bring an association leader on with us today simply because, you know, we are the experts from an external perspective, but being able to really collaborate and talk with a true leader in the association space, someone that does lead an actual organization, is obviously of great value from our perspective. So Mike, I wanted to bring you on first and foremost. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know you cannot unfortunately join us via video because you are also experiencing some of these difficulties. So why don't you just give us a little introduction about yourself, as well as the National Stone, Sand, and Gravel Association.
Absolutely, Tricia, and thanks for the invitation today. For all the participants in the webinar, the technical difficulties have given you a bit of a gift today. For those of you who don't know me, I have a face made for radio, so you're getting it the best possible way today. But let's talk about NSSGA for a second. We're about a $13 million trade association. We represent producers and what we call manufacturer and service division providers who extract aggregates from the earth and then turn those into building materials. We like to say that rocks build America, and at NSSGA, advocacy to that point is job one. So for us, we are first and foremost the trade association that advocates for the members of our industry. I've been the CEO here now just over 11 years, and got to tell you, it's a fantastic group to work for, and it's a very strong association.
Thanks for that introduction, Mike, to yourself as well as to the association. So I know that you've been a client of mine for, I believe, 4 or 5 years at this point now. So I've seen you all kind of grow. I've seen you take some steps back. I've seen you continue to kind of move forward from those paces as well. So, you know, you have a very interesting story from my perspective when it comes to the association, how you've kind of managed the reserves and also kind of reinvested back into the organization as whole. So when we think through that, you know, I kind of want to give a little bit of that story and kind of where you started that process with the reserves, you know, how you really talked through this process of the reinvestment for the growth of the organization for the future, from a governance standpoint, and then where you all are currently here in this process. And for the attendees today, you know, really being mindful that this is a time and space for Q&A, because again, you've got one of the top of the minds from the association world leaders. So if you have any questions that you might want to ask Mike as well, please feel free to throw those into the Q&A chat. But Mike, I'll throw it out to you again to kind of give us some of that background story on the reserves and kind of how you've been reinvesting back into the organization.
Yeah, thanks, Tricia. And look, it's incredibly important, as you've heard from the other speakers today, to set a reserve policy and then to strive to fund your reserves to meet that policy. When I joined this organization, our reserve policy settled on the fact that they wanted to have 1 year of average operating in reserve. And we had that when I started here. As we went through the time that I was here in the early days and through the pandemic, we really wondered, why do we have a year? And if we really ever need a year of operating reserves, what's the point of continuing to have the association? That would mean that our members have stopped paying dues, that our meetings have all been canceled. You know, what would we be here for? So we started to kind of rethink it. And then the pandemic helped put that on steroids for us. Just to give you a little color, we were the last meeting and trade show in Las Vegas in March of 2020 before that town shut down due to the pandemic. We went through some major changes to our meeting. We went forward with an in-person that week, but we also did a hybrid, which put us on, frankly, maybe the cutting edge of changing the way we would meet for the next year. But we took a serious financial hit by changing the format of that meeting. We couldn't imagine a day that would be any rainier from a rainy day perspective than that was, or that period was, for the association. And what we found was that the reserves we had were well more than enough to carry us through that. So our officers and I sat down and started talking about how do we move forward from here, and we changed our policy. We changed our policy to go to what ASAE, American Society for Association Executives, says is essentially the gold standard, and that's 6 months of annual operating in reserve. So we started looking at what are opportunities to use that money to reinvest in the business of the association and grow in terms of what we could provide our members in terms of benefits or effectiveness in advocacy. Really quickly, we started looking at our member engagement. We figured out that our own governance system was getting in the way of our members engaging the way we wanted them to. We started to look at consolidation in our industry, and we realized that we were losing about $200,000 a year to consolidation of members, mostly due to purchases by another member company. So we set to change our governance and, as part of that, our dues formula to account for that consolidation. Rather than losing any of our smaller members who might find a change in the dues formula too expensive for them, we decided to roll it in over 5 years. And we did that by financing the rollout of the new dues formula, or the phase in, over 5 years with reserve spend. Now it's important to point out that in the sixth and seventh year of the phase in, we actually moved back into positive reserve growth. But being able to reinvest some of that reserve balance in the association was crucial. The second thing we did was we decided to take a look at our database. It wasn't serving our needs. And we found out that there were options that would better serve our needs, but it would take a fairly significant investment. The officers and the executive committee approved, again, a reserve spend to build a new database for the organization. And as we look at the out years, we've got a plan for recovering those expenses and, again, starting to grow reserves back to that point where we will maintain 6 months in the bank. But, you know, I think it's really important. And some of the things I hear from my colleagues that have, frankly, a year or more in reserve is their members start asking, why do we have it? Why do we have so much? And they come up with ideas for how to use it, like dues holidays. And let me just tell you, I think, and if you talk to a lot of folks at ASAE or at a nonprofit organization, they will tell you that dues holidays are rarely, if ever, a good idea, because once you discount the value of the association, how do you ever get that back? So for us, we decided dues holidays weren't the way we would go. We'd instead invest in the business.
That's all very useful and helpful information. I love the backstory that you put in there. So as you all were kind of talking through your reserve mix and getting to that 6 month now ratio that you really wanted to get to versus that 1 year that you did have, what were some of the risks that were kind of going through your mind as the president and CEO, maybe even the board from their perspective? And then did any of the members kind of push back as you thought through your new structure to kind of bring that reserve back up?
You know, when we were able to really paint a picture for our leadership and frankly, the membership in general of how we intended to use the reserve spend to grow the association, to grow our capabilities, to be their primary federal trade association, and to represent their interests better. When we were able to tell a story about how using those reserve dollars would improve our ability to be effective for them, it really resonated. And we did it by essentially writing a business plan for how we would use the money and what it would turn into in terms of benefit for the members of the association on the things that they told us that were most important to them. We put it into our strategic plan. And it is a piece of our 3-year strategic plan to utilize the reserves in the way that we have. So by really mapping it out, by explaining it carefully, by clearly painting that picture of how the members would benefit, it really got in front of any of the concerns you might hear otherwise. If anybody looked at the books and saw reserve spend or deficit budget without that context, it might bring up questions that would cause them to reconsider whether or not the association is on the right path. By getting in front of it, all of our members understood exactly what we were doing, why we were doing it, and what the end game looked like, and when we would start to return money to the reserves. So we've been lucky. We've been able to control our expenses well. We've had better than expected revenue. And we're going to end the 5-year implementation of the new dues formula and the purchase of the new database with lower deficits than we expected and be back to reserve growth much faster than we had anticipated. So, you know, I tell people all the time, on any given day, I'd rather be lucky than good. So we were good, but we got a little bit lucky too. And that helped the membership really trust in the process and not doubt that we were doing the right thing. And when they started seeing the results of the investment, that just made it crystal clear that it was the right call for the association.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess when it comes to the reserves, because I'm sure that we have, you know, different varying levels of association reserves on this webinar for today. You know, one of the big questions in the back of my mind is, at what point would you or did you feel confident enough to be able to reinvest back into the organization? And I guess really my question is stemming from, for instance, you had that 1 year reserve already in play. If you only had 6 months, would you kind of backtrack a little bit and try to build that up and then reinvest at that point? Or would you have just kind of curtailed and done a different kind of strategic plan to be able to do the things that you wanted to do? And I'm only speaking that because, again, we have different reserve levels, but also different timelines of how mature some of these associations might be on our webinar today.
Yeah, Tricia, if we hadn't had the 1 year in reserve, I wouldn't have been comfortable going to the 6 months. And let me play that out a little bit further and say, if we hadn't been in a position where we yet had 6 months, I would have focused on building 6 months of reserves before I had even considered suggesting using any of that money to invest in anything other than a strong reserve. It's critical that you have that rainy day fund. Yeah. We likely will experience some disruption again to the business model, whether it's another pandemic or some other eventuality. Someday we're all going to be challenged again in the marketplace. And having that 6 months of reserves to lean on to make sure that you don't lose the ability to continue to be effective for your members, to continue to deliver on the value that they pay the dues for, critically important. So I think the 6 months is the magic number for us. That's what our folks got comfortable with. Again, yeah, we didn't base it off any rocket science. We looked at the ASAE recommendations and followed that. And so having more than that was what enabled us to get creative in investing and growing the business. But yeah, for everybody out there, focus first on getting the 6 months. If you happen to do really well in that, or your reserves start to kick off excess returns, or your surpluses continue to grow because you're just great managers or your revenue's coming in stronger than expected, then it frees you up to look at what you might be able to do to really take the association to the next level and serving the members.
Yeah, and I think you're saying something very important, and you're saying it very subtly. And we've had some questions surrounding that during the course of the webinar, just about what level of reserves should an association have. And you know, specifically said for us it's 6 months, but for another type of association, depending on customer base, depending on where you are geographically, what other products you may offer out to your memberships, you know, it may look different. And that's really important in terms of making sure that you have those policies in place, that you've done the heat map or the risk assessment that Melissa spoke about. You know, so every organization may look a little bit different when it comes to those reserves. You know, I'm very interested to hear from you, though. You know, you mentioned you all got lucky. Is there anything that you have learned through this process or anything that you would do differently now, having some of this hindsight over the past, I think it's been what, 2 years, 2.5 years or so, maybe three, since I kind of work in the past with my work? You know, is there anything you would have done differently?
Yeah, so I'll get to that, but let me go back to something you said that I think is very important, and that is you gotta know your business, and you have to know how you're situated as an association. For us, most of our revenue comes from dues. So about 70% of the revenue of the National Stone Sand and Gravel Association comes from member dues. So when we are looking at the business environment we're in, if we aren't seeing attrition in membership, if we aren't seeing drops in dues, then, you know, our revenue is coming in at a strong enough point that we can be a little more bold in spending our reserves. When you think about a pandemic, things like that, that might impact your meetings, your events, your other business offerings, And there are some associations that offer standard setting and other certification programs as a key piece of their revenue. You have to fully understand your revenue model and how it would be affected by anything that might come along that would interrupt it. Mm-hmm. For us, by being a dues-heavy revenue model, it really, the member satisfaction ratings we were seeing, the renewals we were seeing, the increase in member dues made it more comfortable to spend reserves. But you're absolutely right. You have to understand your association and where you are in your business model, what your risks are before you can get comfortable in that reserve spend space. So on that, just wanted to reiterate what you just said. But, you know, in terms of what I would do differently, you know, I got to be honest, we have had such a positive experience in the way that we have done this. I haven't really learned a lot that I would do differently, but what I have learned that I would absolutely do again is openly and honestly communicate with your membership. You know, your members have day jobs. They have businesses they run or practices that they're engaged in. You have to be completely conversant with them and make sure that they understand what we as association professionals may understand about our business that wouldn't come to them naturally. And things like that standard for acceptable reserves or a gold standard for reserves and a reserve policy, you know, that's something that in their daily business practice they may not think about or may not understand. Communicating with them, bringing them into that loop, making it part of your strategic planning exercises to have that reserve policy be part of your long-term plan for the business of the association really makes all of the decisions about should we continue to grow, should we spend, are we comfortable, do we need to be more aggressive in trying to generate money surpluses to grow the reserves. Having those conversations, it's much easier if you brought your members along every step of the way in the way that you communicate with them and talk about the business of the association.
Yeah. All great points. Well, Mike, I think that puts us right at noon. So I want to say thank you very much for your time that you've given to us today. I think that you have given us a very good perspective, well-rounded perspective on just kind of your story and SGA's story. So thank you again for joining us. Yev, I'll turn it back to you to kind of close us out here.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much, Mike and Tricia. That was super, super impactful, insightful.